الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العزيز والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون في الدنيا علوا ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and elders, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, that a person cannot attain full iman until he loves for his brothers what he loves for himself. From this one can conclude that whatever he finds good for himself, he should like that for his brothers. If he finds something which is detestable for himself, then he should not like it for his brothers. This is a sign of a person attaining full iman, and that he has attained the complete iman, the desirable iman, the level of iman which every mu'min, believe, male or female, should try to attain and try to achieve. And it is only then, when a person can achieve that, he will acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be able to save himself from many bad traits which come about because of shortcoming in this area. Because when a person doesn't love for what he loves for his brother, what he loves for himself, then that will lead to many ills and many bad traits. For example, jealousy, envy, hatred, these are all the byproducts of having, not having this trait of loving for yourself what you love, loving for your brother what you love for yourself. And this is why we see so much problems, and this is why we see that people, families are breaking up, brothers are being made apart, and troubles and corruption and friction are being formed. Why? It's because of this trait not being there. So for us to have the true Islam, which will in turn will give us salam, which is peace and tranquility, and that is what Islam is about. It's not just giving us peace and tranquility in the hereafter, but giving us peace and tranquility here. The objective is to get the peace and tranquility here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being so merciful that for attaining that peace, Allah is going to give us a greater peace in Jannah. What am I trying to say? Just the mere fact of having a peaceful life, that itself is a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for acquiring that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to even reward us more. Since because you were able to attain that, I will give you Jannah as well. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't to give us Jannah, but He said, you do this and you will get peace. And we got that peace. That itself is a great, great achievement. Living in peace. Living, having peace and contentment. And being happy all the time. That itself is a great achievement. And a great blessing itself. But on top of that, for attaining what we need, for us to live a peaceful life, for us to live an enjoyable life, a life enjoyable, a life of bliss, which is not something which happens for a blip, but a continuous throughout the journey of our life, which every man hankers for, but makes mistakes in trying to achieve that and goes the wrong way, does not go about it the right way. Hence, he falls and lands himself into so many troubles and lands himself into so many problems. And then what happens? Instead of getting that inner contentment, what happens? He falls himself into trouble. He becomes discontent, and so much so that some people even commit suicide. So my dear respected brothers and elders, what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, that if you want peace, then these are the guidelines that you need to follow. Because we are all human beings, and we, as part of our genetic makeup, we have these weaknesses. Or we have certain traits, which if not controlled, because we are weak, it will lead us to destruction. Greed, if not controlled, will lead us to destruction. Anger, if not controlled, will lead us to destruction. Envy, if not controlled, will lead us to destruction. Sometimes, envy, if used in a positive manner, is a good thing. Although, technically that would not be called envy, but it is a form of that. Where you would like to do better than your Muslim brothers in terms of ibadah. Competitiveness. But if that is not controlled, then that leads to envy when one cannot achieve that. How? He tries, he cannot reach, then he starts to dislike. He starts to dislike his brothers. Why? Because he cannot achieve it. And then he wishes that person doesn't have it because he can't get it. So that's what's happened. That is the goal. That's not the goal, but the final outcome, if that's not controlled. So competitiveness is a good thing in the right field, in ibadah, in deen. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. In deen is where we show our competitiveness. That is the place where we compete with each other. That is the place where we try to strive to do better than others. But obviously, when it comes to matter of deen, it's always that when a person is being competitiveness in that, naturally he would not desire that person should lose that trait. For example, if a person is a five-time namazi, is a five-time punctual prayer, salah, obviously you want to do better than him. So naturally you would not wish that he would lose that, because you would not again achieve anything. A person would not desire for that, would never desire, because it's not something that he can, by getting that and him losing that, he's not going to get any benefit straight away. The benefit of that is in the hereafter. But in the world, if he achieves something that gets something with the brother had and he acquires that, he can get the benefit straight away, like a car, like wealth. So naturally, when it comes into the hereafter, this does not happen. So the competitiveness is always the good competitiveness, which does not lead to envy. Which does not lead to envy. So my dear respected brothers, elders, for all of us to become a good Muslim, we have to implement that into our lives. We have to inculcate that, this trait, that loving for the brothers what we love for ourselves. And if we can do that, then the blissful life that we all hanker will not be far away. The unity which we all desire will happen. And the brotherhood that we all want will become reality. All this will happen if we can bring this trait into ourselves. And the promises and the reward are great. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ, that there are seven categories of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them shade under the shade of His throne, where there is no shade apart from the shade of His throne. Imamun Adil, a just ruler, is the first category of people who will be given that special place, a time where there will be no shade and the sun will come down so much that everybody will be boiling and will be drowning in their own sweat. And it will be such a painful time. But these category of people will be so blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make space for them under the shade of His throne. Imam Adil wa rajulun qalbuhu mu'allakum bil masajid. The second category of people are those people whose heart are always connected to the masjid. They're always wanting, getting ready, preparing themselves, that after completing one salah, how can I read my next salah in the masjid? Always making that preparation. If it means adjusting his time at work, if it means adjusting his time at home, he will do all that preparation. Why? His goal and his aim is to read and perform salah, the next salah at the masjid. Again, such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them special place under the shade of his throne. The third category, وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ, that the two brothers who love each other only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love meaning that they love for themselves, they love for their brother what they love for themselves. And it is for only for the sake of Allah they will come together, and it is only for the sake of Allah they will depart. That is the third category. The fourth, رَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتِ حُسْنٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالْ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. That the fourth category is that person who a beautiful woman calls him to do the wrong things, and he says that إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, that I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, zina is so rife within our community. There was a time, it is only now I realize how prevalent it is within our Muslim society, let alone the non-Muslims. When I was studying, and we used to talk about zina, and we used to talk about fornication, we used to think, can anybody do that? Oh, it's impossible. How can they do that? When we were studying, we never thought that this could happen. But coming into the real world, mixing with people, interacting with people, I find out how rife it is. Finding somebody who is still a virgin before marriage is now something which is very rare now. It's a very sad case of the Muslim community. People who are supposed to be pious, even they indulge in such bad activity. That is a very sad state of the Muslim Ummah. That before marriage, many people, it's very rare that today we have somebody who is chaste and has not committed adultery. Very sad, very sad. Where Muslims are supposed to be examples and role models. And then today we come and we blame the society why our children are going corrupt. We ourselves have not become a role model for our children. We just need to look back into our own lives. And if we have the slightest remorse, then drops of tears should come down, flowing down. So this is why, my dear respected brothers and elders, this hadith says, is stating us, is telling us that there was a time when this was very rare, this would never happen. But now it's so rife. But these people, in spite of the society, of the environment going against him, he says, no. Da'atuhu imra'atun dhatu husni wa jamal, a beautiful woman. He may be in his car, wherever he is calling towards him, but he says, فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, no way I'm going to do that. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially in this society where there are no breaks, no barriers, no hindrance, no stoppage from anywhere. It is not a crime. It is now a normal social norm of today's society. Some people even boast of how many women they have slept with. Today, if you read about many of so-called, of today's, even I heard so many times, they don't want to even get married to a virgin. Why? Because she has no practice. That's how bad it is gone. This is how worse it's gone. Where are we going? Where is this Muslim Ummah is going? Isn't it about time that we realize where our goal should be? Realize that our actions are leading to destruction for the Ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.